If I time this right, you should be listening to this episode the day after Thanksgiving in the United States. Because I think Canada has a different one. So as a special gratitude-focused episode, I'd like to cover miracles. These are a little bit more like a real-life superhero origin story. It might be Black Friday, but I'm going to add some color to your life. Stay tuned, little Stardusties. Only on Star Queen Paranormal. Star Queen Paranormal.
For the enthusiasts of the strange and the extraordinary.
Star Queen Paranormal.
Warm welcome to you, Stardusties. Tis I, your diamond-crusted doorway to the astral realm. Space Pirate and Star Queen, I am your host, Exie. And you're listening to
Star Queen Paranormal.
Star Queen Paranormal, align the stars with the bizarre. But on this podcast, we focus on high strangeness and the paranormalies. The paranormal. As I was saying in the teaser, I've got three miracle stories. Two of which aren't really that paranormal, but they are highly unusual. I thought they were worth telling. So I may not have the name of this episode solidified. Feel like I've done a miracles episode before about the same time last year. I would say unexpected miracles. I kind of feel like all miracles are unexpected by definition. The closest I've got, though, is that two of these stories seem like they would be real-life superhero origin stories. Well, all three of them. I don't want to spoil anything for you. But if you are a Stardusty who likes to have gratitude journals, make a mental checklist of cool things to be grateful for, whether you celebrate Thanksgiving or not, I thought these three stories might give you a new sense of appreciation for the strange things that happen in our universe. Sometimes those things are pretty spectacular. But first, round and round the earth we go, but we'll still make time for terrible tarot. Oh! And your cards for today are the Two of Swords, the Chariot, and the Moon. Gaze deeply into the void while I gaze deeply into your cards. Well, Stardusties, it feels like, for my collective, you have this energy of waiting for something. Something big to change. Something that might happen fast. I get the sense that you don't really know what it is you're waiting for, but it feels like you know it's coming. Whatever this fast-moving energy is, you can feel it. And whatever it is, it's a positive change. Something very big that's going to happen very fast. I know I said that. But Chariot is usually very positive for me. Although sometimes the Chariot also represents cars for me. And I thought it was worth mentioning, like vehicles of some kind. But overall, it's usually something big happening fast. Like taking action. Ooh, maybe it is taking action. I'm getting that maybe you're waiting because you know that there's action to be taken. But you're trusting the universe to kind of let you know when that action should occur. Whatever it is, it feels like something you've maybe been dreaming about, or something that's been a great mystery to you. It's weighed heavily on your mind. Not a bad thing. I'm not sensing it's a bad thing. The cards are telling me you'll know what it is, and when is the appropriate time to strike. The cards are really just snitching on you and telling me that you feel these things coming for you.
is truly terrible.
In today's bizarre headlines, from the New York Post, a tourist claims that a Loch Ness monster sighting, quote, made me jump out of my skin. On October 7th, 29-year-old Sosh Lake says he was out visiting the legendary loch, and he had been reportedly leaving the area at around noon that day when it started to rain and a light fog rolled in. Lake says that his view and vision were partly limited due to the loch's surrounding trees, but something just at the surface of the water caught his eye. Quote, something caught my eye for approximately 5 seconds and made me jump out of my skin. I saw a huge black mass or hump in the middle of the loch, roughly the size of a double-decker bus. I would say it's around 75 to 100 yards from me. Sosh says, I was confused and in disbelief. The mass of black near the surface, whatever it was, only hung out near the surface for about 5 seconds before sinking back to the unknown. When Lake looked back, there was nothing. The encounter was too brief to get a picture or a video, but Lake was able to draw what he had seen from memory, and he believes it was the Loch Ness Monster. According to the official Loch Ness Monster Sighting Register, Lake's sighting would be the 8th Loch Ness sighting for the year. A previous sighting was reported on August 31st by a 60-year-old woman who said she saw 3 humps in the water, and that was only 3 days after another sighting was reported, in which that person said they saw ripples in the water. A few days before those sightings, a man named Alistair Gray said he saw the Loch Ness Monster on August 26th. On August 17th, a man named Steve Valentine said he spotted a, quote, black shape with a hump. On June 15th, a couple from France claimed to have spotted a 65-foot-long dark shape moving just beneath the surface of the water for several minutes. A tourist from the U.S. said on May 31st they saw something mysterious for a number of minutes at Loch Ness. And on April 5th, a woman was visiting with her mom and dad when she claimed she spotted humps in the water. And sometimes I like to go back and look through multiple articles about the same thing. One of the articles said that Sosh Lake, when he was describing the foggy weather, said all of a sudden a light fog rolled in. They refer to this as Nessie weather. And I thought I'd tag that little Nessie weather tidbit in there for you. So Nessie's been busy. I think I read somewhere that they've had several search parties this year, including drones, looking for Nessie. But the giant plesiosaur is very elusive. And now for the main event. What do you think of when you think of miracles? Do you think of, perhaps, lives saved? Lives spared? Unexplainable things that happen that cure people? In 1988, a motorcycle accident left David Blancardi paralyzed from the waist down. 21 years later, in 2009, while living in Manteca, California, Blancardi was rushed to the emergency room for a brown recluse bite. A brown recluse is a venomous spider, if you're not familiar. Because of that spider bite, David was sent to rehab for 8 months. One day, a nurse, who was well aware that Blancardi was a paraplegic, noticed some unusual muscle spasms in David's leg. On a whim, they tested the leg with an electric shock. David said he felt the current and the rush of renewed sense of hope. He said, when they zapped me, I felt the current. I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. I yelled. David was told, your nerves are alive. They're only asleep. 5 days after the discovery of the nerves being alive in David's legs, David could walk again for the first time in over 20 years. It's a beautiful feeling, David said. After 20 years in a wheelchair, David said he looked forward to dancing again. And some of those sources lovingly referred to Blancardi as Spider-Man. Before I tell you this next story, I think it's important to understand what a particle accelerator is and how it works. A particle accelerator is a machine that uses electromagnetic fields to propel charged particles to very high speeds and energies, and contain them in well-defined beams. So a particle accelerator speeds up the particles that make up all the matter in the universe, like protons and electrons, and collides them together into a target at extremely high speeds. Almost 99.99% the speed of light. So it's taking particles from around it and focusing it at one point into a beam very, very fast. It's assumed that anything that gets placed in the path of a particle accelerator beam would have a very thin hole through it. And if that thing that was placed in front of a particle accelerator were living matter, it would die of radiation poisoning. Or I think one source I was looking at said, like, a very specific kind of radiation poisoning, pion poisoning, which is said to do the same thing as regular radiation poisoning, but with pions. On July 13th, 1978, Anatoly Bugorsky was working as a researcher at the Institute for High Energy Physics in Russia. He worked with the largest particle accelerator in the Soviet Union, the U-70 synchrotron. Bugorsky was performing a routine maintenance on the accelerator to determine the cause of a malfunction. He was leaning his head into the machine, searching around, when suddenly he says he saw a flash brighter than 1,000 suns. But he didn't feel any pain. He realized his head was in the path of the 7-6 GeV proton beam, and that the safety mechanisms that are supposed to protect people from this exact situation had failed. The beam passed through the back of his head, his occipital and temporal lobes of his brain, the left middle ear, and out through the left-hand side of his nose. The exposed parts of his head received a local dose of 200,000 to 300,000 rentgens, which is a unit of measurement of exposure to X-rays. Just for comparison, a chest X-ray typically gives a dose of about 0.01 rentgen. A full-body CT scan gives about 1 rentgen. Bugorsky's head received 200,000 to 300,000 rentgen. Another unit of measurement for context is a gray. A gray is a reference quantity for sizing tissue reactions that occur under high exposure conditions. It is a unit of radiation dose expressed as absorbed energy per unit mass of tissue. A dose of only 5 gray can be lethal to humans. Bugorsky received in the beam 2,000 to 3,000 gray. Needless to say, Bugorsky understood the severity of what just happened. At first, Bugorsky quietly finished his work and decided not to say anything to anyone. He decided it was best not to tell anyone. He went home and decided to wait out the inevitable. There was just no way anyone could survive this. He just resigned himself to death. So he went home and waited for death. And waited some more. Then he realized he was waiting probably a bit longer than he should have. When he realized he wasn't dying, he finally went to the hospital. Now, the tissue in Bregoski's face did react to radiation the way a scientist would expect. The left half of Bregoski's face swelled up beyond recognition. And over the next several days, the skin started to peel, revealing the path that the proton beam had burned through parts of his face, his bone, and the brain tissue underneath. As it was believed that he had received far in excess of a fatal dose of radiation, Bregoski was taken to a clinic in Moscow where the doctors could observe his expected demise. You see, radiation harms our bodies by breaking apart chemical bonds that hold DNA and other cellular components together. With enough radiation, cells are unable to duplicate and begin to die, leading to organ failure. To everyone's astonishment, Bregoski survived, and he kept surviving. Now, Bregoski completely lost hearing in the left ear, which was replaced by a form of tinnitus. The left half of his face was paralyzed due to the destruction of nerves. But other than that, he was able to function well, except for the occasional complex partial seizure and rare tonic-clonic seizure. There was virtually no damage to his intellectual capacity. But the fatigue of mental work, Bregoski survived, completed his PhD, and continued working as a particle physicist at the same institute where the accident happened. Because of the Soviet Union's policy of maintaining secrecy on nuclear power-related issues, Bregoski did not speak publicly about the accident for over a decade, and this was 1978, but he did continue going to the Moscow Radiation Clinic twice a year for examinations and to meet with other nuclear accident victims. And while Bregoski's skin behaved as we would expect from radiation poisoning, what prevented him from experiencing much more damage is still unknown. Maybe he was lucky and the beam just missed important areas of his brain. Maybe there's still a lot we don't understand about particle accelerators and proton beams. But one thing's for certain, Bregoski is still alive today, as of this recording, and his continued existence not only baffles scientists, but I would say it's considered a miracle. March 13th, 2015. A team of firefighters, police, and emergency responders arrive at the scene of a vehicle accident. A fisherman had reported a car flipped upside down in the freezing Spanish Fork River in Utah. When the rescue crew arrived, they heard an adult female's voice yelling, "Help me!" It was clear as day. Spanish Fork officer at the time, Tyler Beddoes, said it was almost like a calming voice, but urgent. Officer Jared Warner told KSL, which is a local news station, "We're not exactly sure where the voice came from, but they believed the voice was coming from inside the car." But the level of urgency about the situation picked up when they realized that there was someone inside the vehicle. When the emergency team finally flipped the car over, they found an 18-month-old girl, Lily Grosbeck, strapped safely in her car seat. The mother, Jennifer, who had been driving, was believed to have died on impact at least 14 hours before the crew arrived. The crew believes that baby Lily had been alive upside down, strapped to her car seat, without food or water, with the freezing Spanish Fork river water rushing beneath her for at least 14 hours. Some sources say 16 hours. Former officer Tyler Beddoes says, "In the car upside down for that many hours, freezing cold, when we flipped the car, it submerged her underwater for 3 to 4 minutes. It's still unclear who called for help. It certainly wasn't the 18-month-old baby, as the call sounded like an adult woman. The call for help, heard by the entire team of emergency responders, which one of my sources said there were 4 people there at the time, because they were standing around waiting on the others. But that call for help remains a mystery. Finding Lily Grosbeck alive was a real-life miracle. She's alive and well, and I believe she's 9 years old today." Beddoes said, "We rescued Lily, but she really rescued me and a lot of other people that day, and our faith." For more information on Lily Grosbeck's rescue, check out Puzzled by Tyler Beddoes, one of the officers that was quoted earlier. So what do we think, Stardusties? Man starts walking again after 20 years after a spider bite? Another man survives his head stuck in a particle accelerator beam? A mysterious voice calls for help when a baby is in danger? A baby who survived under impossible conditions. Would we consider those miracles, Stardusties? I sure did. But what do you think? Do you have your own unexpected miracle that you'd like to share with us? We'd love to hear from you. Write to us at starqueenparanormal@gmail.com. Check us out on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at Star Queen Paranormal. Send some money my way at patreon.com/starqueenparanormal and buymeacoffee/starqueen. No paranormal there. And so, Stardusties, remember to find reasons every day to love yourself, as your very existence is a miracle. At least in this Star Queen's eyes. Always remember that you are mightier than the monsters. Until next time, on to the next phase in life. May your path be paved in starlight and continue existing as you would, my dudes.